And welcome to In Game Chat for Saturday, March 13th, 2021. It is Season 15, Episode 9. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome to the show, everyone.
Clap, clap.
There you go. Hey, if you want to get in touch with us, by all means do so. Our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can send us an email. Everyone at ingamechat.net. We're on Facebook, by the way. You can, you know, like us, friend us, whatever you do with our page on Facebook. I'm not exactly sure, because I think we did it as like a business thing or something. So it's not actually, I don't know. You can go to our Facebook page and then like click a thumbs up or something. Right now we are streaming on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv. Search for In-Game Chat. You will find us there, or why not just go to our website, ingamechat.net, and click the links there. Go all the way to the bottom of the page. Tons of links there to tell you how to get in touch with us. In fact, to get to our Discord, you can do that too. Go to our website, all the way to the bottom of the page. There you go. You can find us. Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Right off the bat, Lethal Migraine in the chat room says, the industry is dead right now. What's there to talk about? I honestly don't know. And while I enjoy the reply of you're always such a ray of sunshine, he's not exactly wrong. This is one of the smallest like outlines that I've had for the show, you know, where I grab news articles and stuff.
Right.
It's one of the smallest that we have here.
What, about six or seven articles?
I mean, really? Yeah, not even 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
Just 8 of them. Mm-hmm. That's not to say maybe a lot didn't happen, but not a lot that I'm showing is memorable. Now, again, there are things that I skip over when I just, you know, I look at it and I'm like, that's not important or something. And it could be, God, it could be about a game that you guys like or that somebody really loves. Like, oh, no, the big news happened in my world of gaming. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of not abstract. What's the word? It's kind of like the way music is. It's all within the person who's giving the opinion, I guess. Yeah,
to each his own.
And so and I feel that's the same way when it comes to gaming, because I'm sure there was some news somewhere about something that somebody loves. Mm-hmm. And it's saying, no, man, it was a big week for me. So I don't want to diminish it in that way. But there just was not a lot at all.
Not a lot that stood out.
Yeah, I mean, there was the Bethesda. Yeah, if there wasn't the Bethesda stuff, and really, what is there to say much about the Bethesda stuff that the whole thing doesn't already tell you, or that the fact that Microsoft bought them didn't already tell you? You know, it's not that whole thing. Didn't feel surprising or shocking at all. It felt like that's the point of when you buy a company. This is what you do. Mm-hmm. You own their products now, and you can do with them as you please. And, of course, you're going to add them to Game Pass. And, of course, you know, you're going to have the new stuff as exclusives. Even though they keep saying that they would honor those deals. I mean, we were talking about this, I think, last week about Epic Games buying Fall Guys. Mm-hmm. And saying that eventually the people on Steam who have it are eventually going to be out of luck. Even though they're saying that there is no plans for that, you know it's going to be coming.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just... No, you're giving money to their store. It's not coming to us. Unless there was some way to work it out where the money spent in the store goes to Epic and not to... And no cut of that goes... I don't know. And it depends on how greedy greedy they want to be. I would imagine very.
Yeah. That's the reason they picked it up.
Yeah, I would imagine the answer to that is very, very greedy. So...
I mean, at first glance, you see something like that, you think right off the bat, oh, they're buying this to... For the sole purpose of making consumers, you've got to come to us. Mm-hmm. You want this game, you got to come to us.
Right.
We're the only ones in town having this thing, so you got to come here.
Which is exactly, yeah.
That's the whole point.
That's the whole point. And you know, the glove fits Epic quite well. Mm-hmm. Microsoft, there's different people who can look at Microsoft and say, well, the glove does fit them quite well as also, or that it doesn't. It depends on some sides, because there's the software side of things, like, you know, the operating systems and things like that. There's that side of things where they're like, no, this is exactly what Microsoft would do. And then there's at least the view that they try to give themselves. I know during some of their presentations and some of the press releases that they give, when they talk about, we're willing to work with Sony to do crossplay. We're willing to work with Nintendo to do crossplay. We're, you know, they seem to be that whole open arm ambassador type thing of like, yes, we will embrace everybody else. It's still going to fall into that sort of thing where it's like, your game's still going to be on our consoles though. Mm-hmm. We're our arms aren't open that wide,
yeah,
to let you put that on other systems, not when it can sell. And Microsoft needs it. I'm fine with that. I'm glad they're buying up the studios that they're buying up, in the sense that it's going to give them hopefully the kind of IP power. That sounds so weird. IP power. The kind of intellectual property power.
How about control? How about that? That's how it works.
Well, I want to say it's not necessarily control. I'm still.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. It's just so stupid. Intellectual property. In other words, they have their, they don't have their Crash Bandicoot anymore. They have their Nathan Drake, their Joel and Ellie. You know, they're Kratos. Mm-hmm. You know, they can have all of that. Because Microsoft has currently, seemingly, when you go through and you you have the different companies like, here's Nintendo and here's all of our intellectual properties that nobody else has. And it's, it's a Saturday morning cartoon. Mm-hmm. When you go over to Sony, it's like, here's all of our intellectual property they have. And it's completely varied and all of different kinds of things that they've got with the, like the Kratos and mm-hmm. Joel and Ellie and Drake, and then again, not Crash anymore, but mm-hmm. there's a number of them that I'm completely leaving out, but it's also full. But then when you go over to Microsoft, typically, normally, people will associate one thing, and that's going to be Master Chief, Halo. That's mm-hmm. it. That's it. They do have more than that. There would be Master Chief sitting inside a sports car of some kind to represent the Forza series. Mm-hmm. But they've gotten more than that. It just doesn't come to mind when you talk to most people.
Yeah.
It's not coming to my mind right now. Mm-hmm. But I know they have more more intellectual properties than just that one thing. But that's why I'm saying, that's why I'm okay with them buying up the studios that they're doing. They don't seem to be on the EA side of things where they kill the studios. Yes, they've killed some studios. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't seem to come almost as if some prophecy foretold, where it's just this is how it will happen again and again, time after time. Mm-hmm. EA will buy the company within a year, or there'll be a time frame there. This is what will happen. And sure enough, every single time it happens. Microsoft, not so much. I'm trying. The last one I'm thinking of, I think, is Lionhead Studios that they bought, I think, from the Fable guys. And that one eventually closed up shop. But they're buying a lot of studios, and that's fine because they don't seem to kill them. And again, they need they need that intellectual property. They need more than just, at least the one that's coming to mind right now is just, you know, Halo. And I'm sure in the chat room there's been more. Yeah, they got 23 studios, 30 dev teams. Exactly. They're making a ton of games. You know, if eventually to get there to have, and maybe they don't need, maybe they don't need that IP. Maybe they need, like what he's saying, they have a lock on Western RPGs. That's fine. Maybe not household names and things like that, but if the market's there for it and that's where the revenue lies, then, you know, that's good for them. That's all they need.
Yeah.
But
I just pulled up a list of, I put a search for Microsoft, Gears of War. Was that?
Yeah, Gears is their suit. And see, there's something that's just like not sticking in my head, was not registering. But yeah, Gears is a franchise as well. That they would have. So, yeah, Gears and...
It was like Gears. You said Forza. You said Halo.
Right. Forza and Halo. And, I mean, I'm sure there's others, you know? Yeah. I'm sure there's others. Of course, see, now they own Ninja Theory. So Hellblade is in there. You know, that character is in there. They now own Bethesda. So, Doom Guy, you know... and
Fallout,
all of that.
Now I'm wondering, is Microsoft going to change that Bethesda charm? You know, the glitches, that come in there and Fallout and whatever, and the modding and everything like that.
They'll say they go through. They'll say no. Of course, that's all going to be fixed, but it won't. unlikely. And Nabokov, from what I'm hearing, I don't really understand, but it sounds like Microsoft is doing the Amazon thing. Buy up everyone and give things out for free. Everything is a service, and the service doesn't have to be good. It has to have a lot of ads and a lot of influx and tick boxes to advertise features. Learn how to get people to buy things at volume, who cares what quality means playing in terms. I don't know. I can't really agree with you on that one. I mean, I'm not sure about the Amazon thing, buying up everyone and giving things out for free. I understand what you're saying, because now that they own Bethesda, they can just put all those games on Game Pass. The odd thing is that most of those games were already on Game Pass to begin with, before they even bought the company. But I don't necessarily know if you're throwing that out there as a negative. Because I like the Game Pass service. I love the Game Pass service. I wish Nintendo and Sony had something like that. I really, really do. And the fact that neither of them has kind of looked into that to take sort of to take that on and to compete with it, it says something to me. And I'm not exactly sure what. I can't tell if it says that they don't believe in the in that path, or they don't believe in that, or that it will sustain. They don't have the library to make it sustain, which I think is wrong on both of their parts if that's the case. Or if it is something where they see that it'll be a loss to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, man. If one company does something and it stays around for at least 6 months or more, I can't say that the other companies aren't looking at them and saying, see what they're doing over there? Just see what we can do about that, you know? How can we make that work for us? Yeah. And Game Pass has been around now for at least a year, I know.
Yeah.
Probably longer. And I'm sure Sony and Nintendo have both, I would imagine, would have both looked at it and said, you know, how can we do that? And think, well, the numbers don't work out for us.
Mm-hmm.
Or here's what we have to do to at least make a profit on this. This is how many people have to subscribe to it or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that they thought that they could probably, we already have the PS Plus tier. So I don't know what we could do with like PlayStation Plus or something else. I don't know.
Yeah.
But something on top of that payment.
Yeah.
Then they would have to work that. And so I got to figure they've already run those numbers. Because they haven't responded with anything. Mm-hmm. They tried to a little bit, I think, with that the PlayStation Plus collection thing for PS5 owners. Mm. And that's not bad, but it pales in comparison to what Microsoft offers with Game Pass. So yeah, I mean, I really like Game Pass. I like PlayStation Plus as well, but there is no competition.
Yeah.
Between the two. Let's catch up here a little bit. Microsoft has 18 businesses that make over $1 billion a year. They're sitting on $150+ billion of cash stock value. Video games mean so little to Microsoft. It's nice they're making an effort, though. Had a lot of fun with EA Play this past month. Jedi Fallen Order and Mass Effect Andromeda were worth the price, even without the introductory deal. You know, I might want to look at that Mass Effect Andromeda. I never touched it, and I never played 3. 2 was the only one I really enjoyed, but I know when Andromeda came out, it was like, starting over type thing, or trying to. I don't think it works, but there are rumors that Outriders is coming to Game Pass on day one. I wouldn't doubt that. Outriders is getting a whole bunch of buzz. And I honestly don't even know what the buzz is. Kind of like Valheim. I really had to put in the effort to look at it to actually know what this thing is. But Outriders, I'm hearing a lot about Outriders. So for it to come to Game Pass on day one, that would not surprise me. Microsoft would look at that. If you go back up to Lethal Migraine's message there earlier, he talks about the money they have. Sure, they could throw some bucks at Outriders and be like, yeah, you're going to go on Game Pass. Mm-hmm. The analogy that Nabokov fan was trying to clear up was the Amazon video on demand. They advertised to you about how you get video and music and all these things for free for having Prime. It sounds like Microsoft's going down that path hard. You buy the Xbox license and you get to buy your yearly Alexa or Kindle Xbox, and then you go ahead and just play things that are locked down to just their store or their console. It's not healthy when that entirety involves basically 2/3 of the gaming developers. That's what Amazon would do. But they got to do that. I mean, it's not that Microsoft doesn't come to them and, you know, put a gun to their head. They come to them with and put apparently threatened to drown them in money. And so they give in. They're like, if you don't take the deal, we are going to bury you in more cash. And at some point, they give in. They put their effort into it too. Somebody, again, in the numbers game, says this is going to benefit us if we take this offer from them. You know, if we put ourselves on Game Pass or whatever, we're going to get this, and this will be beneficial for us.
Yeah.
And I don't see anything wrong with it. At least, I mean, not. I say not yet, but I can't imagine a future where something went wrong with that, unless, of course, like Nabokov says, where they really restrict it. In other words, the only way you can play it is with our service or our system, you know? Mm-hmm. Like right now, let's say Speedrunners is on Game Pass. I don't know that it is, but whatever. I'm just using that as an example because it's on everything. If it was on, even though it's on Game Pass, I can still go play it on Nintendo, Sony, my PC, if I want to do that. But if at some point in the future it becomes, well, if you want to get on Game Pass, you can't be on these other systems. And you can only play it on either the Game Pass subscription, be it on PC or the Xbox, or on your Xbox itself, if it's, you know, one or the other type thing. Because Speedrunners can play it on PC, you can play it on console. So if they were to do that, where they limited it to just their service or their system, that I could see where, you know, if it leads down to that path, that's not good. I don't like that path at all. I don't think developers would like that. The money that they would have to offer would have to be quite large because you've got to think about all your other selling that you've got going on with Sony and PC and, you know, Nintendo as well. Those are avenues for revenue.
Yeah, your income comes
from
one source.
Don't chop that off. And so far, I don't think they've done that, but I could be wrong. There could have been some specific deals that lasted for a length of time. So we are coming up on a break here, but I'm getting lost in the in all the chatter here because this is a fun little topic here to talk about. Outriders would be fun, but I don't think that it will. Andromeda was my first Mass Effect game, so I didn't have to suffer from crumbling expectations. Two was fantastic. Even without context of one and without completing three, two was really, really enjoyable. And I would say probably the crown of the Mass Effect
series.
Yeah, I mean, just it is the one that stands out to me. But that's me not playing one, barely playing one. I didn't like the way one played, and never touching three. So, again, somebody else can chime in and say, "Nah, man, three was the that was your Citizen Kane of games, man. That was it." Outriders, let's see. If anyone with a product or technology does something Amazon wants to do, they just buy them out. Yeah, sometimes they do. I'm surprised at who they pick up. Sometimes I'm surprised what these big companies, who these big companies buy up.
Well, it's like EA. Like, didn't we say that EA did this? They just buy a company, gut them out, take what technology they got, and then implement it into their own. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I mean, that's when I was talking about Microsoft. Like, the glove fits for EA to do these things.
Yeah. It's not like other companies don't do that, though.
Oh, of course not. So. But at least they keep them around for a lot longer than seemingly what EA does. Mm-hmm. I don't have a list in front of me, so I'm sure somebody can point out where I'm completely wrong on this, but this is just from the knowledge that I can remember over time. Thar 66, I played the demo with the Pyromancer waiting for the demo patch to try another class, maybe Trickster. Oh, on the Series X. I guess he's talking about Outriders. There was rumor that Sony was trying to get Starfield and or Elder Scrolls 6 exclusives. Maybe, man, that would have been, that's another tough one, man. Starfield maybe, but Elder Scrolls, the sixth version, the sixth in a series, and to get that as an exclusive would be tough. That'd be a tough sell because of how many people they have on other systems. I say that's a tough sell. That would be, let me put it this way. Let me reverse that. It would be an enormous amount of money. It would not, for the right amount, it would be an easy sell, but it would be an enormous amount of money. And of course, it's not going to happen now. So, enjoyed the demo in Series X, played a Pyromancer, feel like a master map of Gears and Division. It's interesting. I haven't looked at it at all. Some of the guys in the clan Discord that we have, they've mentioned it a few times. Which, by the way, we're coming up on a break. We haven't even talked about what we played. I forgot to mention our little experiment that we did last weekend where we did the clown car into the raid thing. So let's talk about that. When we come back, we'll talk about what we played because just went on a little rant there. And I don't necessarily know that conversation's actually done, to be honest with you. There's a lot of conversations when you're talking about the games industry that could fill up 2+ hours of showtime with us. So anyway, you want to get in? Call us 334-272-9228. We're on a kick here with some of these Dark Pictures anthology games because I've been playing Until Dawn. So I've got music from Until Dawn, Man of Medan, and Little Hope in this episode. Probably tracks that we have used before, but I went ahead and because I'm playing the game now, so went ahead and did that. But this is the theme from Little Hope, which is the most recent game that is out in the Dark Pictures anthology. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Until Dawn. Shadow of the Mountain is the name of this track. This game, I've gotten further in. What chapter are we on? 8? I think we're on chapter 8. We just did whatever the chapter is called. I think it's called Violence, is this chapter. So that's the one we just wrapped up. And are now in whatever the next one is. We didn't play that one yet. You've played it though, RJ, right?
I've played a bit of it. I haven't finished it,
Okay.
I've seen so much of it. I pretty much got a good idea of everything that goes on in there.
Yeah. We are trying to say where we are.
It says 10 chapters.
Is there?
It says, yeah, I've just looked at how many chapters. It says 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, wow, we are 3 chapters away from finishing that up. I say that. I don't know that we're going to finish that up in the sense that it seems to be a lot of different paths you can pick.
Yeah, I mean, we said it before. That's the point. I mean, little decisions here and there that come back and affect how the game, how each chapter goes through. I mean, like, how many folks have you lost people?
How many people have we lost so far? 1.
Was it,
I originally thought 2, but I was mistaken.
Mm-hmm. That's, okay, I've seen that one. Okay, the person you lost, was it Matt?
No. The person we lost, I think, is Jessica, the blonde girl who I say got pulled through the door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the only one. Then later on in the game, thought I lost another one, and then later on in the game, turns out I did not.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a little bit of the curtain
mm-hmm.
came open, you know?
Okay.
So I got to see a little bit behind the curtain there
for
some of it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's very difficult to talk about because I'm not sure what would be a spoiler or not. Because mm-hmm. you know, it was interesting that you know Biloxi Gambler had not even had some of the situations that I had experienced at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So, and by the way, it's totally not following my original whole theory of like we're the ones killing off the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of fell into that in a sense. But not in the way that I was talking about,
mm-hmm.
where we were choosing the people we didn't like, and so the game set us up to have an option to kill those people
mm-hmm.
first before the ones that we did like. That did not come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
So I guess at this point you've experienced your don't move scenarios in the game.
I mean, a few of them, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Which is odd on a PS5 because it does not have that glowy thing on the front of the controller mm-hmm. like a PS4 does.
But it does show in the
it does show the game, and yep. it will move because I remember I was just sitting with the controller basically facing down, kind of like this
mm-hmm.
in my lap or whatever.
Yeah.
And that thing came up and it took me a minute to figure out, oh, and I held it straight, but it was pointed down.
Mm-hmm.
And so no, you've got to hold it up, you know, and level.
I've seen some videos of folks was like they're in a quandary where they're thinking, okay, don't move. Okay, I would think, okay, put this down on the table, don't move, right? But in the motion of me putting it down, it might register as me moving,
right,
so
yeah.
I better freeze. And
no, just don't move.
Just don't move.
Just don't move. That's all you got to do. Just don't move.
Mm-hmm.
I've come into a few of those. That's about the only thing. They didn't use any other kind of motion. There is the option in the control scheme to make it motion controlled, and quickly to turn that off.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of fails. I've seen a bunch of fails on that where some streamers were like, I didn't move. How did that register as moving when I didn't move at all? I'm sitting stock mm-hmm. still in this chair and nothing happened, but it says you moved and therefore you failed.
Yeah. Nope. Don't do it. So. I would like to say where I'm at. I guess I could say I know who is behind the mask,
mm-hmm.
the scary mask guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean that's the part that I'm at now. So yeah. And That's Until Dawn. And what else did I play? Oh, yeah. Played Destiny. We did the clown car thing. Mm-hmm. We actually streamed it. It's on Twitch. Mm-hmm. You can go to our Twitch channel and you can watch us. Mind the language. You can watch us. I don't know if any of it came from me, probably. But yeah, it was. We had 10 people, maybe 11.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fun to do. That was really fun to do.
Is anybody left out? Because what was the max? 12?
12 is the max. Yeah, yeah, we had somebody not be able to show up.
Oh, okay.
So we went with the, I think we went with the 11, 10 or 11 that we mm-hmm. had.
At this point, you can just like see if you can speed run bosses at this point, right? Speed run raids at this point, right?
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Nabokov says, whatever gun you were using in the intro was just hitting hard and one-shotting everything. You're probably in the intro that you were talking about was probably the Xenophage, which is a heavy machine gun, and it's an exotic. And for that first encounter, you need something like that to do significant damage to the boss of the room. And I use air quotes when I say that because you're basically shooting these pipes, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah. But yeah, it's a big one. It's a big one. It's fun. That's the thing about Destiny and Bungie themselves. They come up with some great ways of shooting, just like Gearbox did with Borderlands.
Mm-hmm.
At least the first one that I enjoyed, just to, you know, make shooting fun.
Yeah.
And they found ways to make shooting fun. Shooting obviously is fun, but there are ways you can make it more fun.
Homing bullets.
You know, little things like this, just all sorts of things. I'm shooting turrets. Yeah. It's just like, boom, pop out turrets everywhere. Hey, or something. There's great, great ways to do guns.
Yeah, there was. I remember one of my favorite things in Borderlands to do was be as a soldier and have that teleporting turret, mm-hmm. your special move. So if I got a group of enemies way off in the distance and I don't want to go over there yet, or I can just soften them up, I could teleport with longbow technology, teleport two turrets in that area. Mm-hmm. And while they're all focused on that, we can, me and the group can close in.
Yeah.
Unhidden. Because all the seems to be the turret just draws all the focus.
It just draws the fire.
It draws the focus. I mean, if you're trying to be stealthy, you can just run up there and make all the noise you want. They're all going to be focused on that turret.
It pulls the aggro. Yeah. It pulls the aggro for them. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. We had a ton of fun. Doesn't come close to Until Dawn. Whatever gun you were using in the intro. Thar66. Saw a little clip. Sounded like you guys had fun. Yeah, we did. You run that many people in there, and it is just amazing. We thought we could do it probably faster,
mm-hmm.
But for some reason, it still wasn't, you know, it was still registering damage just as it was if there was just six of us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it didn't seem to melt. You know what I'm saying? Like, it should melt with that many people going after, but it didn't do it. Mm. So, it was interesting. The other interesting thing is that we have two phone calls. Okay. All right. We got Chris and Biloxi Gambler on there. So, let's go to the phones. And I think this is Chris. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, man. What's up with you?
I just want to tell you I finished that YS role-playing game series that RJ probably knows about. I finished it up late last night and enjoyed it. That was a good one for anybody that likes that type of series. And I found an excellent app to keep track of your video game collection. I'm just loving it. I just want to tell you about it. It's called Game Eye, but it shares the same E from Game and I. You know, it's GameEye. And it has like a little white, kind of looks like one of those, well, you can search for it on Google and everything, you know, on their Play Store and all, but the database it connects to is one on the web that people can create, you know, and add to at their own. So, I mean, this pretty much.
I think
everything.
I found it. The Game Collector's Ultimate Sidekick. See what it's worth. Quickly view your collection's progress and value with collection reports. Detailed entries give you access to all the most important information at a glance. Missing the box, finish the game. Game Eye makes use of as much detail as you provide. Interesting. Yeah, it tracks all of your games, system accessories, and even Amiibo. Well, I will get
think
that.
About that, huh?
Oh, you know, it's your free app.
So, yeah, you said the thing looks up the value of it.
Yeah, you can also pull up the value, but one of the cool things is, you know, so your entire collection, you can sort through it. You can sort by console or type of game and stuff. So you see, I don't know if I've got this one on PlayStation 4 or whatever. I can sort through and just only pull up in my collection, you know, PlayStation 4, scroll down. Yeah, I've got it, or no, I don't. And then if I decide to buy it, I can go in there and click on Add Collection, Add to My Collection. And you can either do manual or scan, but it has another one where it can supposedly recognize the text, you know, from an image, which doesn't work too well. But I did my Nintendo Box Collection, which, you know, I just laid them out there, and I just, you know, you can do a batch mode where I just laid them out and had all the barcodes, 7 or 8 games at a time, you know, zip, 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 zip. And, you know, it had like 7 in the query, or, you know, and it showed every time you scan one, you know, it would show the name. Yep, that's right. And I would go in there and say, yeah, I've got the box, book, and game and everything, you know, make them all complete in box, and then add 5 or 10 of them at a time. I went through that whole box Nintendo collection in about 5 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's good.
That's good to hear. You can just scan it, and it automatically puts in your queue.
And then the other thing I did on some of the other ones on the shelf, I took pictures of all the ones that I had and wrote down the names. And when I had free time at work, you know, just to pass some time, I'd go through there and write all everything down on a sheet of paper and start scrolling through the list alphabetically and just keep adding them manually, you know, one at a time. And then, you know, just add them every once in a while. And that, yeah, it was great. That really helped out. And you can back it up. I think you can export it and make text and charts and stuff. And you can email yourself a backup link where it'll restore your information and stuff. So I can put it on my SD card and restore it again in the future if something ever happens again, like it did with the other phone.
Yeah.
Is it in a what format? Like text, a PDF, or Word or something?
Yeah, I think it's text. Export. You can create a list, create a spreadsheet, and then a restore point. But okay. I'm not sure what type of file format it does, but it just gives you a basic option.
No, I got to download it there. I'm going to say make something like that for my steelbooks and movies and things. So I'm gonna take a look at that. So thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so y'all been having fun, huh?
Yeah. Playing Destiny mainly for me, and Until Dawn, and take it episodic. So one episode a night usually. Mm-hmm. So
you won't play it like you did. You can't now. You're almost at the end, but you won't play it like you did Last of Us 2.
Oh God, no!
Too many gaps in between. Too long.
Too many gaps. Way too many gaps. Never gonna do that again.
So, yeah, that's like I said. That's a mistake, man. Cinematic games like that, like a movie, you can't have extended gaps in that.
But the game's got to hold me. You know, it's got to hold me there. It's got to hold me to it.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm more than willing to. Hey, Chris, thank you so much for calling, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah. One of my games that I didn't realize had went up in so much value, that Earthbound on Super Nintendo that came in a big, humongous box that had a strategy guide that came with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, I threw the box and everything away, but I paid $300 just for the box. And I got a reproduction trade to hold the game, you know, to make it the way it was. And at that time, several years ago, my game was valued right at $1,000, maybe $1,100. Well, it's jumped up about double that now. There's one I saw on there had actually sold for almost $2,000. And mine was in as good a shape, or if not better, than the one that sold. And I'm thinking, good Lord, these things keep going up and up. And I've been looking them up, you know, since I added it to that list. And it has price charting, like loose, complete in box, new, book, box.
Huh.
So you can, it sorts it out if it actually has a linked database to prices and stuff like from price charting websites and stuff like that. So it is fascinating. It helps to keep track of things if you ever get curious about certain ones.
Yeah, I'm going to take a look at it.
Okay.
I'm going to take a look at it. Thanks, man.
All right. See y'all later.
Take care.
Take care now.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. And we'll go to line 2 here. Talk to Biloxi Gambler. Hey, man.
Rather than buying game boxes, March 12 of last year, he should have bought Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
And then sell it, you know, the next, this March the 12th,
mm-hmm.
and you only pay capital gains tax at 15%. And that's what I did. That's all I did last year. I spent 15 minutes on the computer, made more money than I would have made if I'd have been working. I took the year off. I bought in at $180,000. I sold at $300,000.
Good Lord.
And I got to pay 15% capital gains tax. But anyway, that's not what I called about.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't mind hearing that, though. That's fantastic, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right now, I'm in crude oil. I'm in energy stocks. I'm doing everything for higher inflation. I'm trying to find a way to make money on higher unemployment.
Yeah.
But I know gas prices, you have to do that. It's kind of like satellite radio when that first came out and everything. All right, when satellite radio, they thought they were going to go bankrupt. This is not what I called about. But anyway, I'm scatterbrained anyway. So I didn't want to pay for satellite radio, but I had to pay for it.
Well, terrestrial radio appreciates that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, no, I did pay for it. I got five cars.
Oh.
Well, five vehicles. They're not cars. But anyway, so I bought the satellite radio, but I don't want to pay for it. So when Sirius went down, XM went down before the merger, you know, I bought them for a little bit of nothing. And then they merged, and, of course, they went up a lot. So even though I'm paying for satellite radio, it's basically free for life because of all the money I made off that trade.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, all right. So, RJ, what are you telling him there's 10 chapters forward? They keep you lost on purpose. I wasn't going to tell him that.
Nope.
I try not to give spoilers.
Well, number of chapters in this boy for me, but yeah, he wanted to get an idea of how close he was. There's still a lot for him to discover.
Well, he doesn't need to know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fine. It's okay. It's not like that.
Yeah.
Trust me, that didn't tell me anything at all.
Yeah, because one of the chapters could be 5 days long. But,
yeah, who knows? Because the odd thing was, see, I was basing it a little bit on the butterfly effect screen that has all the different choice option things. And I thought, mm-hmm. man, we only got four left. And we're at chapter 6 or whatever we were. And so we played chapter 7. I think it's chapter 7 that I'm thinking of. We played that, and we only added to butterfly effects that we had already opened up. Mm-hmm. Like it didn't fill in anything new. You know, so
I'm doing what I'm doing with both that one and Man of Medan. Have you started that one at all?
No. I won't start that one until we finish Until Dawn.
Right. And even when I finished Until Dawn, I'm still and I finished Man of Medan. I haven't done Little Hope at all because I'm still going back to Until Dawn, and then I'm making different decisions to go down different trees.
Oh, okay.
To find the different endings, and then of course at the end of Until Dawn, don't watch it till you get to the end. But all the extras where you meet the actors and how they filmed it and all that kind—that's really interesting. But I didn't want any spoilers until after I finished the game to start with.
Well, you wouldn't have had any. They were very careful with those because we've watched every single one that's popped up for us, and they don't go beyond what you've played, and they don't show anything that would seem out of place from what you played in anything so far that I've seen. There were no spoilers like that at all, and we've been watching them as we go because they seem to unlock one per episode or so.
I won't ever look at. I never look at those until I complete a game. But yeah, that's fine. I didn't know they were doing it that way. Cause like I say, I'm not as game savvy as y'all are, and I don't want to take the risk. But anyway, and it really doesn't give much away. But anyway, I'm going back, like I say, and I'm playing. Trying to play different decision trees,
mm-hmm.
and you can end the game multiple ways.
Yeah,
and mm-hmm. which is really cool. And then it's like how many characters you have at the end of the game can vary, and all that. And isn't that artwork great? As far as you're paying attention to the details of the characters and everything. I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
Tattoos.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Tattoos. No. Definitely. And this is an older game. As is. I think Man of Medan's a little bit more recent, but this one's
Until Dawn was like 2015.
I think. It's an older game, and it's still you know, it's got some decent looking environments and stuff, and some of the animations on the faces are a little bit off. It can be a little weird, especially on my PS5. The other day, my guy was holding a lantern, but because the lantern had effects I don't want to say effects, but physics attached to it. Mm-hmm. Like it would swing as I was moving it around, and it started going nuts.
Right.
Just swinging all over the place mm-hmm. until I moved out of the way.
And you've learned something about the game, and you made a comment, like I say, without giving spoilers. But when you talk to the psychiatrist, particularly in Man of Medan, it's not that you're giving him so much information as he's giving you a lot of information.
Yeah.
That you don't realize till the end, and you go, "Oh, he told me that." But it's spoken so cryptically. Anyway, it's a lot of fun. I hope you enjoy the rest of it.
Well, so. we should be done with it. We should be done with it by next week, I would think. If we've only we're on chapter 7, we got 3 episodes left. We should easily be done with it by the next time we do a show next Saturday.
Yeah, don't rush through it. Plus, you might want to go back and play some more chapters.
Maybe, but like I said, we're doing about a chapter a night, and it's kind of been nice because we've had nothing else really to watch. And so it's like, oh, we got our little thing here, and so we'll play a little bit of the game. Because she makes the decisions, I make the moves and the QTEs, which I can't stand sometimes, the QTEs. They're quick! Well, they're really quick!
Yeah, well, there was an opportunity to shoot somebody in there. I think you've already passed by. I'm not going to give away anything. But you've got to say the right thing to get control of the pistol to do it. And when you do that, there is still no way to shoot the person, which would really change the game. I know I've played that a dozen times. I don't know if it's my hand coordination or what it is, but every single time you still lose the pistol when you can take control of the pistol. So, but anyway, like I said, I don't want to give anything away. You'll know it when you see it. You've already seen it, and whatever.
All right,
thanks a lot, man. I'm listening every Saturday. Talk
All
to you
right,
later,
buddy.
Bye.
We'll talk to you later.
Take care now.
Bye bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye bye.
Oh goodness, yeah, it's fun. It's these are the fun games to talk about because
it can go a whole bunch of different directions.
Nobody has the same experience.
Nobody has the same experience, exactly. Yeah,
which is great, but also sucks because you don't want to ruin the experience. You know, you don't want to tell them, well, here's the spoiler for my way. If you had gone a different path, you know.
Yeah, that's basically how it starts off with this. If you did this, this would have happened, and it's like you missed. Like, what? I didn't know anything about that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It depends on what you find, who you talk to, how you talk to them, things like that. Yeah.
I know when I was looking up the music for this, I had to type in Until Dawn. And as I did, it would, you know, YouTube fills out the rest of the stuff. And so it had like chapter 5 walkthrough, chapter 4, no commentary, blah, blah, blah. And then there was another one I saw where it was like chapter 1, all survive, chapter 2, all survive, chapter 3, all survive.
Yeah.
So little videos that show you.
Yeah.
How to get through a thing without losing anyone, which is interesting because far I have only lost one person, and I'm curious if there is no other way that always happens.
Yeah, there was the reason I asked you about who you lost was because it's like some characters, it's like so many things has to go right to save that person. And then some people, it's like one decision saves that person throughout the entire thing. It's like it varies. It depends on what you've said to them
and everything else. So it's
every little action counts in that game. Little decision counts in that game.
It does.
And there are a lot of them.
There is, and I'm enjoying finding like the totems and everything else, and
little flashes.
You pick them up, you look, and it shows you a little flash of something that may or may not happen.
Yeah.
But it's also filling in this video that has a bunch of different segments to it that I still need to find those things. I hate that. I'm going to have to go to YouTube and just find a completed version of that video instead of playing through the game to find all these totems.
Yourself on that one.
No, not until I'm done playing the game.
Okay.
Right. I'm talking once I'm done playing the game because I may not want to go back through and find all the totems again or whatever the case. So. We need to take a break. When we come back, more of In-Game Chat. We'll find out what RJ's played because I didn't even go into what he's played. And we can take your calls 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. What do we have on this thing? Flower66 says, I had 2 deaths. One was because I fumbled a QTE, I believe. That was kind of unfair. Oh, that was all caps on. It was a fake all caps. Anyway, it was mistyped. This is a music from a game called Devil Daggers. I don't know anything about this game at all. I was looking for music pieces, and I went to a thread in a forum that said, what are you playing this weekend? And looked up games that way. And so this guy's playing Devil Daggers. I don't know what it is, but here's the music for it. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called Genosia? Genosia? G-N-O-S-I-A. In the Unknown Ship is apparently what the track title is. Again, I was looking at what people were playing for the weekend, and that's what I came across. So. Looks like a JRPG of some sort. Anyway, welcome back. What did you play? We didn't even go over what you had played. We went over everything I played.
Yeah, not too much. I mean, finished, like I said earlier, I finished my second playthrough of Cyberpunk. Got to level 50 on two characters right now. And I was working on a third, and I got to the point where I was like, I'm just going to stop. Pretty much more of the same. And it's really not that much of a difference between the origins between Nomad, Street Kid, and Corpo. I think the only difference is really one exclusive mission, maybe. I think Nomad had a exclusive option with a certain mission that you had to do in the setup for the heist in the prologue. There was a certain dialogue option you had that I missed completely, so I missed that. Other than that, it was like a specific missions that you got depending on your origin, and the reward you get for the corporate one is like maybe a tech pistol, but the build that I had wasn't really geared for tech weapons and things like that, so it's like I'm just gonna stop right here and just go with these two and just wait for any DLC that comes out. Maybe I'll get something else. Hopefully they'll do something that'll let you reassign your leveling up points. They got some in there that'll let you reassign your perks, but not your building up. I mean, if I could do that, I could really tweak my characters to maximum efficiency. But outside of that, I just put it down, just wait for something to come out for the DLC or fixes or things like that and see what I can go from there. Best I can do now is just update and get the best outfits and weapons that I can for the future DLC right now. That's pretty much all I can do.
Yeah.
Outside of that, played a little bit of Grand Theft Auto V online. There's a new... money system they're giving out. Instead of giving you like a million for your character every 72 hours after the month starts, you know, they'll give you a chance to go to the PlayStation store, just pick it up at the first of the month instead of waiting so you can get it immediately. Yes, they're doing this for PlayStation Plus members every month until the game is released on PS5. So I've just been getting free $1 million perks every month, so I was doing it that way.
Wow.
Yeah. So, it helps. I mean, but that money, you have to spend a lot of money to get, you got to spend money to make money there.
Yeah.
Like the Kale Perico heist that you have to do. First, you have to buy a submarine, which is about $2.2 million at the start. To make it worth a flip, you have to spend about $9 million at the end. So you have to do all that.
And how much money do you make off the heist itself?
It depends. Not much really from what I looked at, but it can be done multiple times, and it's one of those rare heists that you can do solo. That was the thing about heists that was a real pain, having to get a crew together to do the stuff. But you can do it solo. Play your cards right. You just one person, stealth, get the right equipment. You can make a lot of money. You can make a good bit of money off of a heist. But you can do it multiple times solo and not have to rely on a crew to get the job done. Only drawback is you need two people to get the most treasures possible, but you can get at least one going solo. And then doing it over and over and over again will make you build up money pretty fast. Hmm. Other than that, I worked on my swing again on PGA 2K21. It's still bad. I'm still hooking, slicing. I'm not going down the middle as regularly as I'd like to, but I'm still in the mindset that says...
How do you correct that in a game like that?
If you can picture the PS4 controller in your mind, PS5 controller, it's the right analog stick, the way I got it set up, the right analog stick. You pull it back to pull your backswing, push it forward to do your swing forward, right? Mm-hmm. But you have to stay in this zone of pulling back and pulling forward. You exit out of that zone, you're going to start getting slices and hooks in your thing like that. So in my case, from what I played from the golf club last year's game, is tilt my controller a certain way because your thumb is like a hinge. It's going to swing in an arc. It's not going to go directly back and forth, mm-hmm. not in a straight line. It's going to go in a hinge. So what I've had to do to compensate is tilt my controller slightly, with the right side tilted slightly forward, and then use my thumb to go back and forth, and that usually gets me in the zone that I want. I mean, if I had to do it, if I had to force these, I'd have to put the controller down and then literally pull it back with two fingers, pull it back and push forward. Yeah, that was a pain. Big as my hands are, that's a pain. So I just tilt the controller and go use the hinge of my natural hinge of my thumb to go as straight as I possibly can. Sometimes it works.
Must be very sensitive.
Yeah, it is sensitive, but sometimes it works. But like I said, it's practice. Like golf, you have to practice getting your swing right. So just practice getting your hands and thumbs in the right position to get the best swing that you can. So that's what I've been working on. That's what I'm working on in the game. So as soon as I get a consistent accuracy in that, I'll start playing courses for real and having more frustration with lies and putts and judging distance and things like that. Backspin, forespin. Sometimes I want to slice. Sometimes I want to hook. Now watch, I get in the situation where I want to hook a ball and I can't because I've practiced hitting straight for so much. But yeah. It's fun working that process out, and that's what I've been playing this week.
Mm-hmm. I was looking up a video on the swing technique in the game,
mm-hmm.
just to see if I could find out, like, what is the, you know, what is that bar?
I bet it's easy. I bet it's easy as all get out on a mouse.
Huh?
Or the wheel. Oh, that would make it too easy.
Well, the wheel, yes. That would be very easy.
The wheel would be perfect. Yeah, the wheel
but
would be perfect.
I was going to say, not necessarily the motion. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But the wheel, foomp, yeah, that would be great. But there's no variance. You'd have no variance there.
No variance at all, yeah.
To do that. So let's go to the phones and talk to Crawdad. Hey, man.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I wanted to comment. You played a little piece that was a cut from a game there a minute ago, and I could swear that's either Stanley Clark or Herbie Hancock again.
Oh, mm-hmm. goodness. There we go again. That was from Genosia. Some game called Genosia. I have no idea what it's about, but I just grabbed the music for it.
How do you spell that again?
Genosia.
Okay. I'm going to check it out because I find it neat when you see major industry people ASCAP folks, musicians, artists, and their things wind up in game world. That's pretty cool, you know. Music-wise, that's always catches me. The first time I ever started playing a video game, it was the visual, the color, and the sound.
Yeah.
It wasn't so much about the gameplay or the purpose of the game. It was the immersion effect.
Mm-hmm.
I
was going to say that's what they had to go with at that time
because
you weren't going to wow them with your visuals, so you had to make everything else around it more engaging for the player
to
keep it around.
The artwork is really hyped up these days. It's getting to where
it's a mix of things. You know, you're exactly right because way back when they didn't have the power to make it look good, they had to make it play good. Now. They have to do everything.
I thought about this. I saw that Leisure Suit Larry is on another adventure.
Yeah.
I think that's cute and everything, but I wish they would do Leisure Suit Larry Goes to Washington.
Man, that guy has been around for a very long time.
87 or somewhere in there.
No, he's been around for a long time. I remember that because I was seeing that. I was seeing that game in the stores when I was when my dad would take me, and I was like, I don't know what that is, but
it was a lot of fun even then.
Yeah, and I was like, that doesn't look like something Dad's going to buy me.
I haven't played it in forever, but I saw a piece of it that it was there's a new one out, Leisure Suit Larry something, a new release, and of course it's always got that risque adult twist.
Oh yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to see Leisure Suit Larry goes to Congress or something like that. Put a little bit of spin to it. But the graphics today, and I wanted to ask y'all, you mentioned the game Cyberpunk. Isn't that the one that was supposed to be the big thing and it got hung up? There's been problems with it, or am I mistaken?
No, you'd be right on that.
It's full of problems.
That covers actually a number of different games, but you're right on this one. It was, you know, it had an expected release of a couple of years ago, and then it got pushed back, and then it kept getting pushed back and kept getting pushed back, and finally, you know, it was time for them to release the thing.
Well, a friend of mine bought that and then found that it wasn't working, and he was told that he could return it and get a refund. I think he was doing that, and supposedly they're working on a new release. Is that correct?
They're going to try and update what's already out there.
Yeah.
And get that kind of up to snuff, but it's taking a very long time for them to do that. I think it's going to take longer than what they expected. They've run into other problems. So
here's a question for you both. Given the way things are going graphically as far as PC games, is it going to get to the point where things are going to make it so that the user has to actually go buy a gaming PC that's more up to date? I think that's kind of how it's happened.
I mean, that's all. I think that's always been around. I mean, as new games develop, you can run them on your machine. They just start to look a little less and less because your card can only do so much. Your system can only do so much with what the game is offering, and eventually you've got to catch your system up.
I think that's the big thing about the what's that little processor, the little. You get AMD, Athlon, and the other one, I can't remember. They're all vying for ours is the best, use us.
Right. Well, they do that in both the CPUs, the chips, your central processing unit, and also your graphics, your
you
GPU,
guys
your graphics
probably
processing
build your own computers, don't you?
I built my RJ. You built yours.
Yeah,
right?
I built mine.
I built mine too. Yeah. In fact, I just built mine back in October, right before I got COVID. Right before I got diagnosed with COVID, just after the heart attack, and right before COVID.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, see, now you got two bad things out of the way. Well, guys, I appreciate your show every weekend. I listen. I enjoy it. And I see Biloxi's out there. He's listening.
I know. Yeah. He's listening. Tell us, you know, that's what he got. You know, he got me to play that game. So we're going to, you know, and I've enjoyed it. So took his word for it.
Y'all keep it up. And thanks a lot.
All right, man. Take care.
Thanks,
man.
See ya.
You have a good one.
If you want to get in, you can call us 272-9228-334. 272-9228 is the number. Some of the news, I mean, we only have about 10 minutes left in this break, wasn't really, there just wasn't a lot, like I said, about, what, seven or eight stories here, most of which you're going to know. Got a new Ninja Turtles game, which I thought was interesting. Well, because it seems to be based so much on the Konami arcade game from way back when.
Yeah.
It's in that style. It's in the, that... You know,
four player, 16 player, us against the world.
Yeah,
type thing.
16-bit type looking thing. They have no word when it's coming out. Just as coming soon to consoles and PC.
Remakes are the thing, man. But it's just that the purists and the people you're trying to the new folks you're trying to get in there. If you can get it close to or right at do the original justice, basically.
Yeah.
Don't make real sudden changes that'll just confuse everybody.
Hang on, this is from
Battletoads comes to mind.
Well, I was trying to the development team, and I think it's It's
Dotemu.
Yeah,
Dotemu. The people who did the remake for Streets of Rage.
Streets of Rage. Yeah.
Streets of Rage 4. They did a good job with that.
That's what I was recognizing. Like, wait a second, this is the Streets of Rage folks. Okay. Well, yeah. I'm.
It's like them and another. Another group of people, another group of folks.
Yeah, I'm quite pleased. Then I have no issue whatsoever with what I'm seeing here. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm not seeing anything just yet. They haven't shown anything. It is. Yeah, there we go.
I think the last game I played in that fashion was it was on PS3. It was a digital download I did for I think they did a remake of Turtles in Time, reshelled. I think that was the last one I played. Had a few control issues with that one that wasn't in the arcade. I mean, it was fine and all, but it took me a minute to get used to that control scheme. So I don't know how they're going to do it here.
Yeah, this looks good. Yeah, this looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Which it already did in just some of the screens, but I was watching video there and I was like, yeah, that's exactly what it looks like. It's mm-hmm. just kind of goes back to those days, which was weird because we have... You know, sometimes our memory can be a bit nostalgia can twist
alter.
Things.
It can alter stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and make you remember things not like you did, because I remember playing that game a ton in the arcades, the Ninja Turtle game, the X-Men game, the Simpsons game, that sort of thing. But I remembered Ninja Turtles because that was the first one that I think they brought, it was the first one they brought home to consoles that I could play. It was like the Ninja Turtles arcade game on the SNES, I believe. And, or was it the NES? I can't remember. It may have been the original NES. I think it was the NES. It totally was the regular Nintendo Entertainment System. Yeah. but anyway, I remember that coming out and I remember playing that. Then, years and years and years and years and years later, the Xbox 360, the Xbox Live Arcade on the Xbox 360, and it's like, oh yeah, and they're talking about, they put out the Simpsons game, and they're like, ooh, can you do the others, the X-Men game, and then they did Ninja Turtles, and they brought that out.
Yeah.
And I remember, and I played it, and nostalgia told me that I was much better at the game when I was younger than I am now. I played it, and I was like, this is really hard. This is very, very tough. And I think there was a code you could input to get like a bunch of guys, like 99 men or something like that. You know? 99 lives.
Yeah.
I think was kind of like the only way I could play Contra was if I did the 30 man code. Otherwise, it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
If I had the 30 lives code, I'm good.
Yeah.
But otherwise, no. And so I needed that for my Ninja Turtles as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Konami, so it was the, you know, up, up, down, down.
Yeah. I mean, the playing the arcade game, I mean, if you wanted a challenge, I thought, you know, use Raph because he doesn't have any range. Him and Mike didn't have any range, but Donatello,
Bo Staff,
all the way, you can just poke your way to victory with that one.
Nabokov fan says, if you could own one arcade machine, arcade or pinball, what would it be? Which one is most iconic for you? Arcade or pinball? I will give you both of mine from each. Arcade is going to be San Francisco Rush 2049, 2049, whatever it is, 20 something.
2049.
Yeah. That's going to be my arcade
game. Rock. Yeah.
Yeah. And it needs to have The Rock included. I don't want it just be The Rock. I want it to be...
That was a fun course.
Yeah, I wanted to have The Rock included there.
Racing at Alcatraz was the best one.
Yeah.
Or if you tried to dodge a train. You ever try to do that? Dodge a train and miss?
I don't remember. Probably, yes.
Okay, there was a shortcut where you could run in the train track when the train wasn't there.
Mm.
But on the second lap, the train was coming. And if you didn't get to a certain point in time, you're going to get hit by the train. If you don't run up the wall at the right time. But running up the wall would be a shortcut that would get you cut a lot of time off or put you ahead a lot of other races that way. It was risky, but the reward was worth the risk.
Yeah. It would either be that one or Hydro Thunder.
Yeah.
But complete with the
Hydro Thunder or H2 Overdrive?
Hydro Thunder.
Okay.
Yeah, Hydro Thunder, the boats. But
both. But one was a spiritual successor, and one was a heck of a lot more intense.
The heck of a lot more intense. The Hydro Thunder. Yeah, that was Hydro Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Overdrive.
H2 Overdrive was like a successor to Hydro Thunder.
Oh,
Hydro
okay.
Thunder is good. Yeah, but H2 Overdrive, they made that successor. I think Raw Thrills or something like that made that one, and it was a lot more intense version of Hydro Thunder. It was really fun. Really good. Well, but just, you didn't see it a lot.
Yeah, they just, I was going to say.
At least we had it in our local arcade.
Yeah.
And then the owners of the arcade moved it to, like, Florida, where people have actual jet skis and boats like that, so no one would play it over there.
There was Arctic Thunder for a while, and that had
Arctic Thunder.
That
Arctic
had little things had things that pushed wind into your face, cold air into your face when you were playing and stuff. Yeah. Really enjoyed that. So, but probably San Francisco Rush, that's more iconic. As far as pinball machines is concerned, it would have to be... It would have to be Funhouse. If I have to pick one, it would have to be Funhouse. That is the first pinball machine that really hooked me into pinball. I've talked about it before. But that's the one that got me into pinball. I was with my parents. We were going on a trip. We stopped in Helena, Georgia? The one that looks like a little Swiss town. We stopped there on the way to Knoxville, Tennessee. And we spent the night over there. It was really nice because they had a little putt-putt golf course. And you could do something called shoot the hooch. You could get on the Chattahoochee River and tube it. Yeah. Tube down the that one. Which we didn't do. But at that little putt-putt golf course place, there were arcade games and pinball machines. And there was Funhouse. And I put some money in that and I started playing it. And I started playing more and more of it, and I was hooked. And so when we went up to Knoxville, I had to find the next arcade game place that had, does it have any pinball? Let me look at that. And then that's how it was born for me. But it was born on a Funhouse machine, and so that's the one that if I could have that, that's the one I want. Typically what I would like, and this works for San Francisco Rush, as it does Hydro Thunder, as it does my pinballs, is one machine that can just emulate all the tables. You know, one machine that can emulate Hydro Thunder and San Francisco Rush, you know?
Sit-down capability.
Yeah, you build your little, you know, build your little retrocade cabinet, and then put all the ROMs on there, and then boom, you're good to go. Same thing you could do with a pinball machine. It's a little bit more involved because you've got to get you got to gut an old pinball table, and then you got to buy TV screens and put a computer inside of it.
Yeah, before a sit-down, you'd have to have a... flight sticks, steering wheels, and all types of other things like that.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't go that route. I would either go with that in an arcade where it's just like you're not going to have steering wheel unless there's something out there that's built that way that has both sticks, steering wheel that I could that I could use. But
throttles too.
Yeah, but I don't know that you're going to have everything.
Yeah.
So I would just take one of the. I'd be fine using just the stick. So. But yeah, just something where I could have one machine, but all the different games on it is more akin to what I would like. But if I had to pick them, there you go. Rush 2049 or 2099. I don't remember what it is.
2049, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. And Funhouse for pinball. Mm-hmm. What about yours?
I think one of the most, games that really stuck to me was playing a version of Street Fighter.
Of course it was.
The version of Street Fighter.
Of course it's Street Fighter.
And it was unique in where it had these two large buttons, one for punch, one for kick. Now, the normal Street Fighter has three buttons for punch, three buttons for kick, varying strengths, light, medium, and heavy, right? But this version of Street Fighter had the big red button for punching and the big blue button for kicking. But... the strength of your punch was determined on how hard
you pressed
the button. Oh. No, punched.
Oh,
it was a button that you actually had to like hit to get a reaction out of.
Oh, was so it padded?
It was a big button. It was a big pad, big rubber pad on top of a button, right? On a plunger, basically.
I'm googling this right now.
Yeah, so you hit this thing and lightly, and it was a jab. You hit this thing mid range, which was hardest to do because you had to guess between how you're going to gauge between medium and light. So you hit the medium strength and you get a medium punch. You literally punch the thing to get a
hard shot.
Get a hard punch. Yeah.
I see it now.
Yeah. That really stuck out to me in terms of arcade games that really stuck in my memory. It was just a unique experience, but you got like wore out hitting punch and kick all the time.
Yeah, look at that. I put the link in the chat room there.
Yeah.
So you can see it. Yeah, it's got a stick with two, a big red button and a big blue button.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. The original Street Fighter had a deluxe cabinet variant with only two button pads. Wow. That's something I didn't even know.
Yeah.
I did not even know that.
I tried implementing that in today's Street Fighter. Kiss combos goodbye.
Yeah, I know.
you're not doing any four strings in this game. No.
How hard did you have to push that? How hard did you have to slam that thing?
You had to punch it to get a heart attack. Like I said, you had to punch the thing to get a heart attack. You had to like tap it just enough to get a light one, and mid strength attack was the hardest thing to do because you had to gauge because you were either tapping or punching the blank out of it, trying to get a response.
Could you hit both at the same time?
Well, it wouldn't have worked because it was only going one. You're either going to punch or you're going to kick.
It was only going to do that.
There's
okay.
No implementation of a punch. Didn't know if it was time. That.
So yeah. What about like? Did it have like the you know, the powers, like the
special moves?
Yeah, special moves
are in there. Special moves is basically the same. A stick motion and a punch or kick at the end.
Yeah.
Now, the strength.
But you could
it,
just do a. You could just do a.
Just hit
tap thing,
yeah.
on it. Yeah.
Yeah, you could tap on it, whatever.
But you could do. So it could be higher strength if you hit it harder. If you did the stick move and then hit the button, it would be a higher strength.
In the original Street Fighter, I don't recall there being any levels of strength in the attacks. I mean, you either. It just came out. I mean, the fireball went the same speed all across the screen. The hurricane kick went the same speed, and the dragon punch went the same distance all the way out. So I never noticed any difference in strength. I mean, all you had to do was focus on was hitting the correct stick motion.
Yeah, Nabokov fan has a nice little thing in there saying that one of the photos on the comment says that he saw a dude that was wailing on one of these, totally miss the button, and break his hand over the console.
That was a possibility, yes.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I can see why this did not last.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones real quick before we go to a break here and talk to Chris again. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, you were talking about the pinball machine arcades and stuff and all, and I've been wanting to tell you. Have you seen that At Games pinball machine that has the digital games, the certified games that you can get on it?
No, it's what is it called? At what's
yeah, the... it's like the mini art one up arcades. I think it's At Game pinball machine, but it's a full-screen digital representation of the pinball table and all, but they're official tables that are licensed from the other companies and stuff. You know, all the different tables like Williams and stuff is on there. But they also have a joystick that has, you know, a six-button joystick combo with one of the roller balls like from the old golf games years ago that you could swap out the panel on the front edge there and play other, like, top shooter games that have, you know, the tall stretch like Raiden and some of the other ones like Mertz, you know, that have that tall vertical plane for the display.
Scrolling upward, yeah.
Scrolling upward.
Yeah.
So that might be an option if you were wanting to think into that or look into that, because I remember seeing some videos where somebody had the pinball machine thing and upgraded his panel and swapped out the panel. It's like, you know, just plug and play. You just swap it out. And
yeah, I'm looking here on the...
I think they're like $600 or something.
It's like Legends are. It's at games.net.
And yeah,
Legends Pinball.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Oh, they actually do sell. Oh, what is it? Okay. I'm going to have to look at this. There you go again, throwing more stuff.
I know. I was about to tell you last couple weeks ago, and I'd forgot about it, and you mentioned about pinball. And I forgot to call and talk to him about that, but.
No, thank you. No, Chris, we got to run, but thank you for that. I'm going to keep it bookmarked so I can go back and look at it tomorrow.
All right, y'all. See y'all later.
Take care.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care now.
All right.
When we come back, we'll have more about in-game chat here in just a bit. We've got music from Man of Medan. This is a track called You Are Not My Brother. I have no idea what context that means, but that is the name of the track. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Now, you said this, what is this?
I said this has horror movie Chase written all over it.
Maybe it does. I don't actually know. You're going to have to look it up, because I don't know where this game comes from. But it's called Trinity Souls of Zil'ul. T-R-I-N-I-T-Y, Trinity, and then Souls of Zil, Z-I-L-L, and then O apostrophe L-L.
Mm-hmm. No. Let's see.
Name of this track is called Dire Straits.
Action fantasy role-playing game.
Yeah.
Okay. Came out in 2010. Doesn't look like it was reviewed very well, but... Huh. Yeah. PS3.
Yeah, some of this goes back. The next one, now, since you won't have a lot of time to look it up when I give it out there, I'll tell you what the next track is going to be that we've got coming up.
Mm-hmm.
It is it is a game that somebody said they were playing, and the title alone was something I thought, I've never heard of this before. I have to look into it. And so I did when I was getting the music for it. And so when I did the search on YouTube, it brought up a lot of basically, I don't want to say logos, but not images of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Images of like the title card, you know, of the game and then the music playing under it. So it still wasn't giving me any idea as to what this game is about. It looks to be a pick-your-own-adventure type thing. Mm-hmm. The whole thing seemingly takes place in a book. So it's a lot of reading. Mm-hmm. And then it feels like, and I don't know, but it feels like you make choices on certain pages about what to do. And then you flip to that page and I guess it goes, you know.
That's literally choose your own adventure.
But there is no, that's what it is. It takes place all inside of a book. But it is called The Life and Suffering of Sir Bronte.
Okay.
And I was really, really interested in it. Just the name alone had me intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really curious as to what that was about. And then it apparently takes place inside a book.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Narrative-driven RPG that comes to life on the pages of a protagonist's journal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so I really enjoyed that. And the Life and Suffering of Sir Bronte.
Mm-hmm. Seems to be highly rated, too.
Yeah, I saw that too. Again, in my research, I was like, well, what is this? Okay. But yeah, you're going to involve an investment on your part to actually get through that. I'm all for new ways of playing games. But again, it's got to hold me. You've got to hold that attention. And the less you do, the more you've got to hold that attention. You know what I'm saying? Like the less you give. And it depends. You could have... You'd be the ugliest thing I've ever seen. But if your story is going to hold me there, it doesn't matter.
Like I said, ugly it is. It's like we said, man, those 8-bit pixels. But if you have an entertaining game with 8-bit pixels and something interesting about it, you can hold you. Papers, Please, Gunpoint.
I was about to throw that out there. Papers, Please, and that other one, The Curse of the Obra Dinn.
Yeah.
That I've heard so much about that I need to finally pick up eventually.
Yeah.
And play that is very... very low key on the graphics, but very highly text based and informative.
And
keeps you with the story.
And the one that really sticks out, Minecraft, is not graphically pleasant, but it's fun and interesting. Yeah. So people keep
well. See, that goes to the other thing where it's like it doesn't matter about the story. It's just it found a mechanic that we can all dig into, which is basically here is your Lego set, here is your sandbox, go build whatever you want, and. You know, it was nice that they did that or that they were able to do that, but that's another issue where it says here, it doesn't look pretty, but it plays really well.
Yeah.
Here's a game that doesn't look pretty, but it's got a really good story, so just keep playing. Or it doesn't play very well, but it's got a really good story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've often said, you know, there's the fire triangle. Here's the three things you need in order to have fire, and then here's the three things you need to make a good game, something that holds the visual attention, the mental attention, and the gameplay type attention type of things.
Yeah.
But some of those you don't need.
Yeah, because I think we've all played games that didn't match the criteria, like I said, but it held you all the way through to the end. Like one game I played years back, and I think I still have, it was on PS2, I think it was, called Disaster Report.
Yep.
The story in that game was enough so that it kept my interest throughout the whole thing, despite the glitches in graphics or the control issues that I had. I just really had to figure out what was going on here. Basically, you're a reporter. First day on the job, you come into this town, come to this new town, and your first day on the job, there's an earthquake. An earthquake has happened, and it's like destroyed almost everything. But the news station is still open, and there's still communication out there, and your boss insists that we still got to get the news out there. We still got to get the news out of the people. So you're going out through the city, walking out, doing all these things, and on the way, you start to figure out exactly that the earthquake wasn't natural. Now you got to go out there and find out why this earthquake actually happened. And that's what kept me going through the entire thing. Basically, a conspiracy was going on. You had to figure out, pick out the pieces, and then you saw how... how far people were going to keep you from finding it out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just a reporter. You're not a soldier. You're not a warrior or anything. You're just a reporter. So that had another element that kept my interest.
Yeah, you can. If you've got a good story, you don't need good graphics. And sometimes you don't even need good gameplay if you've got a really good story. But you probably do need gameplay and story, then you don't need the graphics.
Yeah.
Gameplay and graphics, then maybe you don't need the story.
Mm-hmm.
Graphics and story, then maybe you don't need the gameplay. You know, there's mm-hmm. it seems like you need two at least, and you can do without the one sometimes. It all depends on what it is, but
yeah.
Just to quickly hit some of these little news things, you know, there was a roundtable conversation with Microsoft and ZeniMax, Bethesda, basically. They were talking about it, and they just talked about, you know, some of the games that would be coming to Game Pass. Which is basically everything. But it's odd on what is left off. Fallout 3 is not on there, and Doom from 2016 is not. But the original Doom, Doom 2, Doom 64, Doom 3, and Doom Eternal, all available. Fallout New Vegas, Fallout 4, Fallout 76, all available. But not Fallout 3. And apparently not Fallout... Was it 5? Wasn't there a fifth one?
Fallout 4, and then you had Fallout New Vegas. No, not New Vegas. 76.
Really?
Fallout 5?
I thought there was a Fallout 5.
No, I haven't.
I am obviously
Fallout. Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, Fallout 4, Fallout 76, Fallout, that vault game.
No, you're right. There is no Fallout 5.
Yeah.
There is no Fallout 5. Although it does seem like it's going to be an inevitability that it will happen, but yeah. No Fallout 3 in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that is all coming to Game Pass. A lot of those were already on Game Pass. We talked about that.
Yeah, it's the first Fallout I played, though. Three.
Three? Yeah.
For me, the first one I played.
That's the first one a lot of people played, actually. Yeah. More from this Microsoft Bethesda purchase thing. This is what they said. While the full ramifications of the deal will play out in the months and years to come, the boss of Xbox did confirm one thing. Some of Bethesda's future games will be exclusive to Microsoft's platforms. Their quote, with addition to of Bethesda's creative teams, gamers should know that Xbox consoles, PC, and Game Pass will be the best place to experience new Bethesda games, including some new titles in the future that will be exclusive to Xbox and PC players. They did say back when the deal was first announced, they did say they would honor their existing terms of agreements to make Deathloop and Ghostwire Tokyo PS5 console exclusives, but would decide which of the publisher's future games to make multi-platform on a case-by-case basis. That's going to be... Yeah, I just don't see Elder Scrolls 6... and even Starfield getting multi-platform releases. Those are your big guns that can bring in so much new players.
Yeah.
To do that. Now, it would be, I suppose, in the best in the best interest of consumer, I don't want to say trust, but just a show of good faith for the consumer would be don't do that. Let it be available on whatever it can be available on so people can play it. You at least get your, you still get the money from it. You still get whatever. But that's a hard thing to decide on, knowing that that could be system seller. Those could be system sellers if you're, if you make them exclusive. So yeah. It'll be interesting. Let's see. Spencer elaborated a little bit on what the Bethesda acquisition says. So obviously I can't sit here and say every Bethesda game is exclusive because we know that's not true. There are contractual obligations that we're going to see through as we always do in every one of these instances. We have games that exist on other platforms and we're going to go support those games on the platforms that they are on. There are communities of players. We love those players and we're going to invest in them. And even in the future, there might be things that have either contractual things or legacy on different platforms that we'll go do. But if you're an Xbox customer, the thing I want you to know is this. This is about delivering great exclusive games for you that ship on platforms where Game Pass exists. That's our goal. That's why we're doing this. That's the root of this partnership that we're building. And the creative capability we will be able to bring to the market for our Xbox customers is going to be the best it's ever been for Xbox after we're done here. So yeah, they're gonna, that's, no, that's going exclusive, man. That's gonna be exclusive to their, to their Game Pass at least. They're probably looking to get Game Pass to expand. Kind of like EA does EA Play, and you can buy that on Xbox, or you can buy that on Sony, on PlayStation. You can buy it on PC. Microsoft may look to take Game Pass to multi-platform. They already have it on PC and they have it on their systems itself. I don't ever see Sony doing this. Ever. I don't ever see them saying that, yeah, we'll put, we'll let people subscribe to Game Pass on our system and they can do whatever. I just don't ever see them doing it. Nintendo, I don't know. Nintendo is a possibility. But I don't ever see it for Sony. But that's the way it sounds like, is that they may in the future look at trying to expand Game Pass. I don't see why. Why would you do that? Because it can be a system seller itself. Like, you get the system. Basically, you practically give away the system. As long as they're Game Pass subscribers, you're going to continue making money after that. So, but yeah, I would say, I know they're looking at that, you know, Lethal Migraine, I haven't played Elder Scrolls, or they linked it all, and they do take place in the same universe. They're loosely linked, and he says if they're loosely linked, then Elder Scrolls 6 has to be multi-platform. Yeah, I don't think so. If anybody wants to put something down where I say they're going to be exclusive and somebody else says they're going to be multi-platform, we could put this down and go back to it. We could bookmark this to come back to it to see if we were right. Yeah, man, that's a tough call. That's a really tough call. Because it's been, the problem is that it's been done. Mass Effect 2 released on Xbox and PlayStation, whereas Mass Effect 1 was a PlayStation exclusive. Or, I'm sorry, Xbox exclusive. So they've been down this path before where, you know, the sixth in a series is releasing, but it's only releasing on this one system. I mean, look at Bayonetta 2.
Yeah.
It got a sequel on one single system.
Yep. And it wasn't enough to make me get the system.
Yeah. But Nintendo bought that exclusivity.
Bought it exclusive.
Microsoft has bought this exclusivity. And I don't see them, I don't see them letting this, you know, get away from them. Like, I totally understand it. I'm neither here nor there because I don't play the series. But I think it's better for consumers just to have it available wherever gamers are playing. If he's so much about these players, if he's so much about the community and the players and everything else, don't put it behind a wall. That's the easiest thing I can tell you. Next one is loot boxes. A research company has said that loot boxes will be worth $20 billion by 2025. Research firm Juniper has released a new report where it revealed that loot boxes will generate $20 billion in revenue by 2025. In other words, like we said before the show, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And they never were.
No.
And
still up to the players whether or not you buy them or not.
Yeah.
To each his own.
And if you've got a Build-A-Bear near you, you can go and build your own Animal Crossing character. I don't know what you can build there. They don't have no examples, but I'm sure you can build KK Slider or Isabel. I don't know if you want to build Tom Nook or not, but
was the secretary name Isabel?
Isabel.
Okay, yeah, that's going to be. Isn't that the most popular character?
I think so. I don't know.
Because the only way I know about it because she was in that Doom.
She was in the Doom thing. Doom I know. It was like, they switched the characters or something like that. It was a really good little marketing thing they did, which was kind of nice.
Yeah.
I would love it if companies got away from subscriptions. Drive me bonkers. Never going to happen. Microsoft makes. No, you're right. It's never going to happen. I tell you though, I don't mind Game Pass. I don't mind Game Pass as a subscription. I really, really don't.
Yeah, it's worth it. But with all the descriptions you've given about it, and what people in the chat are saying, it is worth.
Yeah.
Worth the money. Game Pass.
I mean, I'm
is.
Playing Until Dawn right now because I somehow got it on PlayStation Plus. Actually, it's in the PlayStation Plus collection for PS5.
There's been plenty of times when it was free.
But I mean, the same thing works on Xbox, where it's like I'm looking for a game to play. I just go to Game Pass and I look through these titles.
Mm-hmm.
It is like looking through your movie collection or like Netflix, trying to find something to watch or play, and say I'm going to do that, and you click on it and say okay, there you go. It's really nice. I like that. I really do like that.
Mm-hmm.
I essentially have that with Steam, but with games I purchased. Whereas this one's like a subscription and I have plenty to choose from.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have got to run. We are at the end of our line here. So thanks for everybody that called. Crawdad and Biloxi Gambler and Chris. I appreciate everybody calling in. Everybody that was listening, I didn't even do the roll call here if I got time. Oh my God, there's a lot of people in here. AC Wraith, A10, Gasket Sharp. Right over there. Commander Root, Drunk Degenerates, Evans, 04-1111. Eyelashes? FTO Payer, Go With Him, H3 Lushka, Joint Effort, Lethal Migraine. These are brand new names. Multile, Nabokov Fan. Random Man is in there. Hey, man. I think he's going to raid with us. We're doing a clown car again. It's the last weekend for us to clown car raid here coming up later on. Retro, Silly Gnome, 225, Steven Van Damme, Texas 59, T.Y. Teetle, and Violet's TV. Thank you all for coming. We really do appreciate it. Go to ingamechat.net, join our Discord. Link is there. If you go to ingamechat.net, go all the way to the bottom, you'll find a link to our Discord, our Steam group. Everything is all right there for you to enjoy. Have a fantastic week. Random. Vince, I'll see you here pretty soon. To run that raid real quick, and then I got to run a Presage Master difficulty thing or whatever. I've got to do that at some point. But anyway, music from Life and Suffering of Sir Bronte. We'll see you next Saturday.